Britain.
Immigration. A promise worth breaking. The Tories' plan to cut immigration by two-thirds would be highly damaging.
The uncertainty created by Brexit makes it hard to draw up concrete policies in many areas. But Britain's imminent departure from the European Union has changed the context for one issue in particular, immigration. Labour's manifesto is cautiously vague, promising fair rules and reasonable management. But Theresa May has reiterated one long-running Conservative promise to bring net migration, immigration minus emigration, to below 100,000 a year. This commitment and the party's ongoing failure to fulfil it has hurt the Tories in the past. That makes their dogged adherence to it all the stranger. David Cameron introduced the pledge in 2010 in an effort to win an election. The ploy worked, but he got nowhere near meeting the target. Mrs. May is only slightly more likely to succeed. Until now, the Conservatives have been able to blame the EU, whose rules on free movement mean that much immigration to Britain is beyond the control of the government. After Brexit, cutting migration from Europe will be possible. But even if Britain banned all immigration from the EU, which would be ruinous, net migration would remain above 100,000. Cutting the numbers from the rest of the world has proved difficult. Recent court rulings mean that tightening the restrictions on family visas and refugees will be tricky. Mrs. May now plans to charge firms higher fees for hiring skilled foreigners. Not only would this hurt businesses, it would make it harder to secure post-Brexit trade deals. India, for example, has already made clear that any trade agreement would have to include some concessions on migration. Why stick to this foolish target? Rob Ford of the University of Manchester suggests three reasons. First, Mrs. May might worry that abandoning the commitment could jeopardise her chances of hoovering up the votes of one-time supporters of the anti-immigration UK Independence Party. Second, voters do not trust the government when it comes to immigration. Two-thirds think it unlikely that the Tories would reduce net migration by very much. The Prime Minister may worry that, implausible as her goal seems, dropping it would erode that trust still further. Third, Mrs. May has invested time and labour in the issue, having grappled with it for 6 years as Home Secretary. A fourth possibility is that she envisages a deep post-Brexit recession, which would cause immigration to dry up. The target might be fudged. Tailored visa programmes for particular industries could exclude crowds of migrants from the figures if they were rejigged to look only at long-term stayers. Four-fifths of Britons would be happy for doctors from the EU to be given special visas, according to an Ipsos Mori poll. Only two-fifths would award them to bankers. But with the government apparently unwilling to discount foreign students from the statistics, despite the public's affection for them, carve-outs for particular industries seem unlikely. If the Prime Minister fails on her pledge, trust in her and her government could erode. Mrs. May's claims to have got the best Brexit deal might be met with scepticism from Brexiteers, many of whom see reducing migration as the main reason for leaving the EU. Disappointed former UKIP voters could even be seduced by nastier political forces. Yet the graver danger is that Mrs. May succeeds. The economic damage would be considerable, not least in the impact on the public finances. The current migration flow works in Britain's favour. The country exports expensive pensioners and imports mostly young, healthy, tax-paying foreigners. The government's fiscal watchdog reckons that by the mid-2060s, with net migration of around 100,000, public debt would be about 30 percentage points higher as a proportion of GDP than if that number were 200,000. Of all the Prime Minister's promises, Britons must hope that her vow to cut immigration is one she is willing to break.